I brought something along I bet most of you will be able to recognize. I have a couple of balloons, and I'm going to need a couple of people to help me. And Ruth, I wondered if you would take a hold of that ribbon, and please don't let go, because it'll be hard to get. Mike, would you be willing to hold the other one? And again, be careful to hold on to it. We don't want to lose it. What? Oh, wait a minute, Mike, you misunderstood. You see what Ruth's doing over here? Just leave it right like that. Are we having a communication problem here? What's going on? Just leave it right. Mike, what's going on? Let me find out. I see what's happening. Ruth is holding the ribbon in her left hand. Try holding it in your left hand, and let's leave it right there. No, that's not working. She is crossing her legs, too. It's still not working over here. Ruth, do you have any other advice for Mike? How are you getting the balloon to stay up? Sit up taller, young man. No, that's still not working. I don't understand this. We have two balloons that are the same size, the same shape, the same color. They have the same ribbon. I don't get what's going on here. What? You think Mike's got more hot air? Oh, you think you do? I don't think that's true at all. No, in fact, if you look through the balloon, you can see there's nothing inside. Mike, if you look in yours, you can see there's nothing inside. So I don't think that has anything to do with it, Ruth. Any other ideas? What do you mean what's inside is different? It has what?
Helium.
What's that? It's gas. Cheryl, this is church. Come on. Where do you say this is? So you think there's something different inside the balloons. Now, I tell you what, that can't be true, and I'll prove it for you here. Thank you. In case you didn't understand, Cheryl believes there's something different inside the two balloons, and I'll show you they're exactly the same. Watch. There's nothing wrong with the air in this balloon.
There's nothing wrong with the air in this balloon. I told you, they're the same size, the same shape, the same color, and why are you laughing at me?
Okay, Cheryl was right. Thank you, Cheryl. You love being right. Well, that's good. That's good. There's something interesting about this element called helium. Did you know you can't see helium? You can't taste it. You can't touch it. You can't smell it. You can't hear it. You cannot demonstrate it to be there by your five senses. But how do we know it's there? You saw the effects. What was effect number one that tipped off there was helium in this balloon? It floated. What was the second effect? It made my voice jump up a few octaves. Yeah. Even though you can't demonstrate it to be there by your ordinary senses, you know it's there because you see the effects. And I want you to keep in mind as we begin this new sermon series an important truth, that things are not always as they appear. The Bible tells us there's something going on all around us and we can't see it. Check this out. I'd like to welcome you to Spiritual Warfare Boot Camp as we study God's Word and learn about something that we can't see with our physical eyes. But we know it's there because we see the effects. Welcome to what I'm going to call tactical training session number one. And it is my hope that you will come each week and gain new information that you can apply to your lives to have victory in your spiritual life. Today's session, tactical training session number one, is entitled The Reality of Spiritual Warfare. And I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 945. This book was written by the Apostle Paul to the church he planted in Ephesus. And it's a short letter, but we are going to read towards the end in chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. Paul writes this, "A final word, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm." Paul is telling all who follow Christ that there is something going on all around us which we cannot see, the spiritual war. We can't see it, but we know it's real because we see and experience the effects. You can't see helium, yet we were able to detect it's there. Some people say, if I can't see something, I won't believe in it. They might not believe in wind, but it can knock them down. They might not believe in electric current, but it can knock them to their knees. And the Bible tells us that there is a spiritual war that is real. The battle is real. The Bible tells us all about it. In Galatians 5:17, Paul writes this, "The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just the opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires." These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. When we are born into this world, we are susceptible to these spiritual forces of evil. And you know, as children are growing up, nobody has to teach them how to lie or how to take something that doesn't belong to them or to not treat others with respect. It just happens. But as we become older, and if you choose to become a Christ follower, the Bible says when you repent of your sins and are baptized, you receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit comes to indwell in your life. And that's what Paul's talking about. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. Now, this was even depicted in cartoons on TV, where the cartoon character was facing a choice, and there were two characters on each shoulder. One was an angel, and the other was a devil. And they were whispering, trying to get you to choose the right or the wrong way. Now, that is obviously a cartoon character, but very often it plays out what we experience in our lives. But the Bible tells us it's not fictional and it's not a cartoon. It's a real battle. And there are real forces that are constantly fighting inside of you. And one is the natural sinful desires, and the other is the power of the Spirit. We just read in Ephesians 6:12 this, that we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. We're not fighting against other people. We're fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Remember, just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not real. Things are not always as they appear. And these evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, also against the mighty powers of this dark world and against evil spirits in heavenly places. The Bible tells us that even though you can't see the spiritual world, it's real. And that's who our enemy is. He comes in the form of an evil spirit. We can't see the mighty powers of this dark world, but just like we were able to detect the helium was there, we can see the effects. We see people living broken lives with the consequences of sinful actions that devastate them. And we know the battle is real. I also want you to know that the enemy is real. We have a real enemy. The Bible tells us about him also. The closest thing we can find in Scripture to tell us about our adversary before Genesis is actually a passage out of Isaiah 14, 12 to 15. Look what the prophet said. "How you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning." In some translations, it uses the name Lucifer. "You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, 'I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High.' Instead, you will be brought down to the place of the dead, down to the lowest depths." This is about the nearest understanding we can have of what happened. Satan was a created being. He was an angel of light who sought to usurp God's authority, and he was cast down. And then we see him in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, when he takes the form of the serpent. And the Bible says, "Now the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say that you must not eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden?'" He's setting her up, right? He knows what God said just as well as Adam and Eve. He's a deceiver. Revelation 12, 7 and 9 tells us, "Then there was a war in the heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. The great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the world, was thrown down to the earth with all of his angels." We also know not only is he real, but his purpose is to be a schemer. The Bible tells us about this too in Job chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The curtains to heaven are kind of drawn back, and we get a glimpse of what is happening. And the Bible says, "One day the members of the heavenly court came again to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. 'Where have you come from?' the Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, 'I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that goes on.'" And if you've read the rest of Job, you know Satan accused God of protecting Job, and that's why Job was faithful to him. Satan says, "Let me take everything he's got, and then he'll curse you and die." But Satan is patrolling the earth, watching what's going on, and scheming. In Ephesians 6:11, the verse we just read, Paul tells Christians to put on God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Did you know that? That the devil has strategies to tempt us, to deceive us, and to get us to fall? And he's been doing it a lot longer than any of us have been alive. We'll talk more about that next week. But he is a schemer. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 11, 14, Paul says, "For even Satan disguises himself," how? "As an angel of light." He wants you to think he's the good guy, but he's not. Now, our fight is not with other people, but the Bible says it's against spiritual forces of evil. Again, in Ephesians 6, 12, I want you to focus on this verse. We're not fighting against other people. That's what often happens in churches where there's divisions and arguments and conflict, isn't it? We start nipping at each other. But that's not where the battle is. The battle is with the enemy. And again, he's a spiritual enemy. He can't be seen, but he is the force behind evil rulers, authorities, mighty powers of the dark world, and evil spirits in the heavenly places. He is real. Paul talks about this fleshing itself out even in his own life in Romans 7, verses 21 to 25. He said, "I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what's right, I inevitably do what's wrong." Can you relate? "I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me." But he says, "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will make me free from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" thank God the answer is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The battle is real. The enemy is real. But I also want you to understand that the provisions of God are real. The Bible tells us about them. What provisions has He given us so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes, so we can be left standing on the battleground of this spiritual war? Well, the first, I think, is the strength and power that comes from God. In Ephesians 1, verses 19 to 23, He says, "I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him." This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Isn't that good to know? The same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to His followers who are engaged in this spiritual battle. We've got God's strength and power. You don't have to do it on your own. Paul goes on to say, "Now He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come." God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made Him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is His body. It is made full and complete by Christ. And that's encouraging news for you and me that are a part of this church family, that God's put all things under Christ's authority for the benefit of the church. And then 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul tells us this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." I wanted to tell you about these things, the reality of the battle and the reality of the enemy, but not to scare you, but to deliver truth. And God's not given us this spirit of fear, but He's given us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. That power from God enables us to live the life He wants us to live, to love others the way He wants us to love, and the self-discipline to follow Jesus. We can't do it on our own, but when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we repent of our sins, when we're baptized into His name, the Holy Spirit lives in us and He gives us that power. 1 John 4:4 says, "The Spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit that lives in the world." We have supernatural God power if we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And the Spirit of God is greater than the spirit of Satan. James 4:7 tells us this, "Resist the devil and you know what will happen? He will flee from you." What a wonderful promise. Now, it doesn't mean He won't come back. Okay, again, we're going to talk more about that next week. But you have the power within you to resist the devil when the Spirit of God resides in you. And I want you to know about another provision of God. You not only get His strength and power, you get to wear His armor. And we're going to learn about His armor during this sermon series. But there was a time during the first century, there was one army that dominated the known world, the Romans. And when Paul wanted to describe the armor of God, something people couldn't see because it's spiritual in nature, he decided to compare it to the best armor that everybody knew about. And every city in the empire had soldiers. And these soldiers wore this issued armor. They wore a belt and a breastplate and boots, and they carried a shield, and they wore a helmet, and they wielded a sword. And Paul is going to teach us more about these parts of the armor of God and how they work together to protect us from the schemes of the devil. But that'll come later in this series. 2 Corinthians 6:7 says, "God's power is working in us, and we use weapons of righteousness, in the right hand for attack, and in the left hand for defense." Sword, shield. Okay? In 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, Paul says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have power to demolish strongholds." And that's what God wants to do. Look what He says. "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." The armor of God will help us do that. Not only do we have the power and strength of God and the armor of God, but he's also promised to give us the training. Look at this, Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. We started off with this this morning. Be strong, not in yourself, but be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And this is your part. Put on God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. God's part and your part. When you do this, 1 Peter 5, 9 says, stand firm against your enemy and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. So you may be under some kind of attack that you think is personal to you, but throughout history and throughout the world, all of us are suffering under the same kind of spiritual attacks. So I want you to remember, as we are introducing this subject today of spiritual war, I want you to remember the lesson of the balloon. Just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not there, because things are not always. So we have to be vigilant. The spiritual war is going on all around us, even though you can't see it or demonstrate it there with your ordinary senses. We know it's there because we see the effects. People living in sin, broken lives. And I want you to remember, the battle is real, the enemy is real, and the provisions of God are real. His strength and power, the armor of God, and his training that's available to each in every one of us. So I have a challenge for you today, and that challenge is this. When I have presented this sermon series, most people tell me, I've never heard anything like this. And part of the reason is in many of our churches, we don't talk about spiritual war. But we're going to talk about it here. But the only way that you are going to be able to be one of those who's left standing on the battlefield in the victory of Jesus is to complete this challenge. I want you to commit to training for spiritual war. And there's two ways you can do it, and they even work really well together. The first way is make your participation in our ABF a high priority. Now, some of you were there today. At 9:30, right across the hall in the fellowship hall, we have our adult Bible fellowship. And we are introducing a new way of studying the Bible that is really going to be helpful in your spiritual growth and your spiritual warfare training. And if you weren't here this Sunday, there is still time for you to jump in and be a part of this. If you will see me after service, I have a sheet that gives you the very simple instructions. And those of you that were there this morning, by show of hands, was it pretty simple? Yeah. Can you do it? Yeah. And so if you'd like to join us for that, I'd like to invite you to see me after service, and I'll give you the paper, and you can be ready for next week. But the second way you can commit to this training for spiritual warfare is make your participation in our worship services a priority. Come every week ready to learn, and I promise you, you're going to see things a lot different, and you're going to be much better prepared for spiritual battle. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, Paul wrote that there were different gifts given to different people in the church. He specifically talks about gifts of leadership. And one of the things he says that is the responsibility of pastors and teachers is not to do ministry to people and for people, but to train and equip the people of God to live the lives that he wants them to live. And that is going to be my heartfelt commitment to you over these next several weeks, is to help you come to grips with what we're told in Ephesians 6 about this spiritual war in which we're engaged. And I'm going to teach you how to stand up and fight with all of the strength that God gives, using all of his provisions of armor. But it's way more than I can do in one message. So I want to encourage you to make worship a priority so you can hear these messages. If you need to hear them again, or if for some reason you miss, they'll all be available online. You just go to our website, HamersvilleChurchOfChrist.com, go to the sermon page, and you'll find all the sermons there that you can listen to.
But I want to encourage you to pray with me just now as we wrap up this morning's message.
Lord God, this can be kind of a scary message because some of us are just kind of humming along, going to church, going to work, and doing stuff with our family, and boom, we come into worship today, and there's a message about a spiritual war going on, a war going on all around us, even though we can't see it. But we can learn something very important from the silly example of a balloon, that just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not real, and that things are not always as they appear. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth it teaches us, and it helps us understand whether we want to believe it or not, whether we can see it or not, we are engaged in spiritual war. And the battle is real. And we have a real enemy who's trying to defeat us. But we thank you so much, Lord God, that you have given us provisions with which to stand and fight in this spiritual war, where we can be strong in you and in your mighty power and be left standing on the battlefield when all is said and done. Help us, Lord, to train hard, to apply the things we're learning so that we can live in victory without having to fear our adversary. We pray these things in the name of our Commander in Chief, Jesus. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song, Whom Shall I Fear?
Always by my side.